There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday, the Friday Eve edition of the show. Lots coming up today, but you need to know this as we get started. The phone line and the text line, the same digits, 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, as I say daily here on this show, if you had the FM Talk 106.5 app, which we'll talk about getting that later, it's free, it's cool. Just look for FM TALK 1065 wherever you get your apps. And download it. But one of the features on there is the talkback feature. Lets you press the microphone icon, records a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. Hey, also, heads up, coming up in hour number two, I don't know if you heard, a dog show is in town. And I am a sucker to watch a dog show. I do like to watch like Westminster and all that, but we got one going on here in Mobile. We'll talk about that with folks from the dog show coming up in hour number two. Not that that would overshadow my next guest and my friend. It's John Sharp from AL.com. John, dog show's coming to town, man.
Cool. You going to be there?
I think so. We may go check it out. Yeah, man. I'm a sucker for watching it on TV. So I guess in person, I do like it. I mean, even dogs that aren't like hunting dogs, like whatever dogs, I'm like, I like to watch people run their dogs around a circle there. Yeah, I'm a sucker for it.
Well, you know, the Westminster dog show is interesting. I always, you sit there and watch those events, and you look at your dog, and you're like, come on, dude, can't you do any of this?
Right. And, you know, I'm trying to point at the TV and say, look, now that's how a dog's supposed to act, and the dog's off in the other room doing something. I do want to, before we get started with the real news out there, this is probably the most important news. So you've heard John and I over the years here in College Pick'em. We're competitors in the College Pick'em along with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all out there. And I had a real good year last year. I have not gotten off to the best start. So, John, you and I were texting the other day about what our picks were. I'll tell you this. I'm actually ranked 327 right now in College Pick'em. Actually, I'm in a seven-way tie for 327th place. So you're probably doing better than me.
Well, no, I'm actually probably a few notches below. You know, ever since you all developed the bright idea of going to the point spread, my weeks went from 7-3 to 3-7. So it's been a predicament. All I can say is thank goodness for Alabama and Auburn last week. They saved me. I'm done reading the prognosticators. I'm just going to kind of go with my gut, and we'll see how this goes going forward.
Yeah, I tell you who beat us, too, is Dalton's daughters. They have an account as well, and they're picking based on which mascot they like better. And they actually finished better last week than we did.
It's the whole dart-throwing theory at this point. So, yeah, that's tip of my hat to the mascot pickers.
And I do want to say congratulations.
It's not easy. Yeah.
No, it's not. Ben, congratulations to number one, Sergeant Clyde Frog on there. He is perfect in the first week of the College Pick'em. So we'll see what happens after this weekend. All right. John, a lot of stories up that got my attention from you this week, but this one here, and this kind of goes into, a news account just was running there about what Trump was saying about Florida and their, legalizing marijuana, but the, not smoking in public places, these things. You have a story up here about vaping at football games, but it is bigger than vaping at football games. Alabama bill seeks to ban e-cigarettes from public places. This seems to be an Alabama thing, but it's going on around the country as well.
Yeah, that's correct, Sean. This was a bill that was pre-filed in the Alabama legislature. Apparently, it's been filed before last year, but you know, I noticed it being pre-filed by Senator Gerald Allen, and I talked to him about this, and the inspiration occurred, you know, where Al's a high school football game. He was sitting there watching a game one time, and you know, as this I lead into the story, you know, a downwind caught the aroma of a vape, and he noticed it and thought, well, wait a minute here. Why are we doing this inside the football stadium? You know, you got to smoke outside the stadium.
Yeah, you can't smoke a cigarette. Right. You can't sit there and light up a heater and pull on that. So,
but apparently you can with a vape. There's no state law that specifies. So that's what inspired him to pitch this piece of legislation. Interesting, kind of a two-part legislation. It's very simple. I mean, you know, it just basically includes alternative nicotine products to the Clean Air Act. In other words, items that cannot be smoked inside a school venue or a football stadium or something along those lines. And then the second part is to rename the entire Clean Air Act after Senator Vivian Figures, which apparently has been proposed before in the past. I don't think that's overly controversial, although there's been no legislation named after Senator Figures before. But this would rename this entire law after her, since she was instrumental in getting it approved something like 20 years ago. I mean, it's you know, we look at the Clean Air Law now and kind of shrug our shoulders about it, but it was controversial. 20 mm-hmm. years ago, it was not a issue that was you know, cut and dry. Nowadays, you go to a restaurant, you go to a bar, really, and if they're smoking inside the bar, you kind of scratch your head. Yeah, that is allowed in Alabama. Bars are exempt from the Clean Air Act. But most of them, the marketplace has kind of taken a hold on this, and a lot of them have moved the smokers to the outside, whereas in the past, you know, 25 years ago, it would have been the other way. People that did not want to be around smoke would have found somewhere else to go.
I like the market side of it on businesses. I was actually an advocate for saying that, you know, here's the problem, though. The people that have to work in it, that's one thing. But, you know, the dollars will decide where they're going. You know, I don't want to sit in a place full of cigarette smoke, so I'm going to go somewhere else. But this, when you start looking like a football game or something that you want to go see your kid play or, you know, whatever, you're interested in that team, then you kind of are trapped. You can't, that same football game's not going on in some smoke-free stadium somewhere else. So, yeah, I mean, at that point, it is a little different, right? I mean, to have those protections.
That's correct. But, you know, the days of the cigarette smoking in the grandstands are over with.
Right.
Now we're talking about vaping, alternative nicotine products. That's where we're at right now. And it's interesting because the legislature's had to, there's been some very passionate debates in the legislature over the last couple of years that's involved a lot of organizations over, you know, regulating the e-cigarette industry in Alabama. And so this kind of is one of those bills that kind of does a little bit of that, you know, as far as vaping out in public, in a public place. But there's been, you know, pushes by Representative Barbara Drummond here in Mobile and Senator Vivian Figures as well to, you know, kind of look at the entire industry from a whole and see what kind of restrictions or regulation. I go into some of that in the story. I know in the past there have been some legislation passed as far as putting a age restriction on vaping and purchasing vape products. And, you know, some of these bills have drawn some interesting sides. I mean, you've had, you know, if you talk to Representative Drummond, she's been concerned, or and Senator Figures as well, over the anti-tobacco groups like the American Lung Association, the Heart Association. They've come out and opposed her bills before, saying that, you know, if you put these regulations or restrictions on the vaping industry, then that could lead to more smokers, you know, people moving away from the vapes and going to the cigarettes again. So, you know, it's been interesting. This is something that's kind of hasn't really dominated the media coverage a lot in the last couple of years, but it's been an issue in Montgomery for the last couple of spring sessions. And I'm sure this is going to come up again in 2025.
Yeah, it's whether you're smelling up, you know, somebody pulling on a Marlboro or their strawberry shortcake vape, I mean, you're getting secondhand something, right? I mean, that's, it's by the definition, I guess, they're saying, well, this is not secondhand smoke, this is steam or whatever for the vape, so you almost have to not say smoke, you have to just say clean air, right? Versus, because you can play, you can get in the semantics game, so, well, that's not smoke, it's steam.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, there's questions on, you know, how harmful secondhand steam or vape or whatever you want to describe it as is truly to people that, you know, that do not vape. It's kind of like secondhand cigarette smoke, which has been proven to be very, you know, been proven to be deadly. So there's a lot of questions about that. But yeah, that goes into one of the reasons why Senator Allen is pitching this legislation is that, should, if you're sitting out in a public venue or at a public event, like a football game, should you take those vape products to the smoking area and handle it there? And so that's kind of the bill in a nutshell. It'll be interesting to see, you know, where that goes this next session. He pre-filed it early, and I think the hope is, unlike the last legislative session, in the next legislative session, you don't have a lot of these bills that get hung up in the last couple of days. And I keep hearing that repeatedly. There's been a lot of bills pre-filed early this year. And the reason why is I think there was a lot of upset feelings over the handling of the gambling bill last spring. Mm-hmm. That a lot of other bills that a lot of lawmakers felt were very important, but, you know, were not as, I guess, overriding as the gambling legislation, all got hung up both in the House and the Senate. And this is another example of that. And that's why, you know, you're seeing some of these bills being written about now, you know, are still in the summer months of 2024 versus, you know, typically you'd have a lot of bills pre-filed after the new year. And so we're seeing a lot of this activity going on right now. And I think it has everything to do with the frustrations over a lot of these pieces of legislation getting hung up in the process last spring.
Just joining us, talking to John Sharp with AL.com. And this story posted today, there was some discussion this morning on the show, on the morning show with Dan and Dalton. Also, Jeff was talking about it on his show. And you're writing about this. So explain this to me. There's been bits and pieces of this and now more of information. Governor Ivey calling for the resignation of the Alabama Department of Veteran Affairs Commissioner Kent Davis and how this could risk ARPA money for the state, could put us in violation on that. What's going on here?
So I asked specifically for an example of what exactly happened here. I mean, this you've summed it up in a nutshell. And I asked for an example, and I was told, well, that probably could be forthcoming tomorrow. I think the governor's letter is pretty direct. You are to resign by 5 p.m. today. That's where we're at with that. I reached out to the Department of Veteran Affairs. I got an answering machine when I tried to reach their appropriate media contact. So I can't really go on and say, you know, exactly and affirmatively on where they stand right now on this request from the governor. But what we know from right now is that's where things are at. Now, my colleague Mike Kaysen in Montgomery spoke to Senator Greg Albritton earlier today, and this has just been updated. They had an ARPA Oversight Committee meeting. Apparently, this never was brought up during the public session of the meeting, but he spoke to Senator Albritton afterwards, and he said that there was perhaps the finance director found out what was going on, provided a little bit of oversight authority in this whole situation, and forwarded to the governor. That's kind of where we're at right now. So the problems were caught by the finance department, and perhaps that the examiners of public accounts are also involved in this. But I don't know anything beyond that at this point.
Well, and also, I mean, she removes, so a guy who's been on the show with me many times, I have a lot of respect for John Kilpatrick. It's been a very long slog for him to get the center built and moving here for veterans in our area. And Governor Ivey removes John Kilpatrick, you write, from his position as a member of the State Board of Veterans Affairs.
Yeah, two people gone. You don't see this very. Yeah.
No, and I don't know how he would have the. I guess I'm like you, I'm waiting for info tomorrow.
We want
I guess.
More information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we need more information. I think my understanding, this is just coming from the governor's spokesperson and asked, you know, again, specific examples of what's going on. Clearly, when a letter like this goes out publicly, that's the obvious question you're going to ask. And so hopefully we'll get more details tomorrow on this. I think or maybe even later today, I think the idea is that they want to see if the commissioner resigned by this 5 p.m. request that was included in the governor's letter. This is unusual. I mean, we don't see this very often within Alabama state government, and that's where we're at right now. I mean, you know, we just haven't seen it during the Ivey administration. So, yeah, we want to know what's going on. What are we talking about here?
Right. Tell me what happened, right? I mean, we're on the same page. Governor Ivey. Now tell me, and I know that, you know, you can say, well, there's an investigation going on, but give me a general idea of what risked our ARPA money. I mean, I kind of look at government and say, y'all had one job to do here with all this inflated money that was given to the states, and you're telling me y'all didn't do it correctly. I mean, that's what I'm reading out of this.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, basically, we got the same thing you got, one-page letter from the governor saying, please resign as a result of the handling of ARPA grant money. So the obvious next question is, what exactly happened?
Right.
That's where we're at right now.
That's right.
See, that's where we're at.
That's why John and I are buddies, because we ask questions like normal people. Okay, so then what happened? Well, that's what we want to know. That's why we'll watch for your updates over at AL.com. If people want to check you out online as well, maybe even talk a little college football trash, how do they find you online?
Yeah, I'm Twitter, X, at JohnSharp99.
All right, John, I can't wish you good luck this weekend, but, you know, it can't be as bad as me. So.
Well, let's try and get this thing to 500, then I'll feel better.
There you go. Yeah, we'll hopefully get there. All right, my brother, we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, there goes John Sharp, and we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Like, I mentioned to John Sharp, a second ago. Waiting for more information coming from Governor Ivey, calling for the resignation of the Alabama Veteran Affairs Commissioner, so Kent Davis. But the one that strikes me strange, and I know this man, and hopefully we'll get him on the show, and I know he has what John Kilpatrick has had to deal with to try to get to set up his, you know, vets recover and do that work here locally with our veterans. He just told me over time, just the bureaucracy you have to go through, even at a state level, to do this has been such. So I don't know why it's of interest, and I'll be interested to see what more comes out of the governor's office later this afternoon or tomorrow on this, but this is, I think there's more. I mean, we're looking at smoke now. There's got to be ample fire here to go with it. And I think the governor, I mean, to send something out to ask somebody to immediately resign is not a very Governor Ivey thing to do. So this gets your attention, right? So with that being said, what else is going to come out on this? We will be watching it. Also, you heard Bill Riles there mention the jerky recall. Yeah, I mentioned this for a second yesterday. Didn't get to the story, but is this a story of, because news loves to do a recall story. You know, if you bought canned peanuts between May 2024 and whatever, or you know, the lettuce you have may have listeria, whatever it is, right? They love those kind of stories. It's easy. You just repeat the thing. It's non-contentious, right? Maybe I'll just do more of those on the show. But this one I'm going to make maybe difficult. So the story here, this one from Yellowhammer News. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture recalling beef jerky made in Alabama. USDA says more than 6,200 pounds of jerky made at Hickory Hollow Jerky in Eufaula wasn't properly inspected. for a second here. You want to talk about inflation, too? And I have an inflation narrative I might use later on in the show, but this one, like jerky, but my gosh, you have to get financing to buy jerky. I mean, jerky is so dang expensive. But so how much would the, can somebody help me? What would the street value, you know how they always say with drugs, what would the street value of 6,200 pounds of jerky be? Start asking that for everything. If anybody has a something they're selling, say, what's the street value on that? But it said the jerky was manufactured between January and August of this year. Now, nobody, there's no confirmed reports of adverse reactions. Nobody's gotten, reportedly, nobody's gotten sick. Because, I mean, jerky by its nature, right? I mean, it was meant, even if you look at pemmican, right, that Native Americans used, the idea was to have something that didn't spoil. But they're saying the recall is because, not because people got sick, they didn't get proper inspection. Here. Proper beef jerky inspection. I'm intrigued. I mean, how much of this is just a box wasn't checked, and how much of this is somebody's in danger of losing more than a tooth from, you know, the jerky? All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line, both 343-0106, 343-0106. Time to check in with my buddy, Blaine, over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And you and I have talked about this many times this summer. You and I both got to mow some extended acreage, right? We'll put it that way.
Right.
And the zero turn is the way to go, you know, and the cutting deck is a big deal. And people might have been on the fence, but you got a deal right now going on some – these are demos, right, on zero turns?
Absolutely. So every year we have some in our demo program, and toward the end of the year we sell those. Well, those – they qualify for some extra rebates, so you can kind of say they're on sale, so to speak. Probably marked off some of them a few hundred bucks, some of them a few thousand dollars off.
Ooh, okay.
All within, you know, they don't have hundreds of hours on them. All of them, you know, 50 hours or less on them. So still brand new mowers, still qualify for the brand new 0% financing through Kubota, and we've got plenty of these in stock right now.
I love it. Y'all, believe me, when you upgrade, if you've been pushing a mower for a period of time, or the good old, I mean, I remember mowing my grandparents' lawn with a steering wheel type, but I mean, zero turns, when I got onto that 10, 15 years ago, it's game changer, y'all, game changer.
Yep. And also, Sean, we've got some of these zero turns in our rental department as well. So if it's something you're unsure of, come rent it for a weekend and try it out yourself.
That's a good point. That is a good point. All right. And on other equipment going on, September, you said this 0% financing still continues?
We still continue with the zero interest financing on all Kubota and Land Pride. That's tractors, side-by-side, zero turns, the construction skid steers, mini excavators. All of it qualifies for that zero interest financing here at Kubota.
Love it, man. Tell folks how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in the middle of Robertsdale on Highway 59. We're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays, 8 till noon, or give us a call at 251-947-7171.
Good stuff. Blaine, we appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, John.
All right. There goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Yeah, they do have some nice zero turns in stock right now, and you save big money. I'd say upgrade. All right, to the text line here. Some jerky discussion here. So IT Jesus said, sound like the jerky inspectors ran out of their supply of jerky. Yeah, what, they didn't get the, hey, man, just be cool. Here's a little jerky to be cool on this and give you a little taste of the action. Remember the Far Side? Was it Gary Larson, the Far Side? I had this pops into my head, speaking of beef jerky. Not like jerky, jerky fan. Remember his drawing? Did anybody picture in that where beef jerky comes from? I'm just giving you a second to picture it. If y'all hadn't seen, you could Google it. It's probably up there. So the Far Side. For you kids, there used to be this pretty funny cartoonist, and it was called the Far Side. And I think my mother and I would buy each other, like, the calendar, like every day of the year with a Far Side, you know, cartoon drawing on there. But the cows were all jerky looking. It's like where beef jerky comes from, and the cows were all like goofy looking. It was, made me laugh back then. Probably still would make me laugh if I saw it today. Marty said, I made deer jerky about a month ago. Started with 7 pounds of deer meat. When finished making the jerky, post-dehydrated weight was about 3 pounds of jerky total. It's time-consuming, and you lose a lot of weight in the final product. That's why it's so expensive. Oh, I do realize that, Marty, but that's why I'm talking about when they say in this story, 6,200 pounds of jerky. What's the street value? What's the street value on that jerky? That's one thing I have not done yet, Marty, with my venison, is done the, and I think it's sometimes there's easier recipes for the oven. I just don't need another hobby to start processing my own jerky, but I've been tempted. Tusker says the FDA doesn't inspect my boiled peanuts I buy on the side of the road either. See, don't give me any ideas here. Do not give them any ideas. Because they will. I did boiled peanuts this weekend, Tuskers. I did the crock pot. Oh, it's like a half crock pot. I got the, you know, the regular size crock pot, about maybe 3/4 full. Fed everybody all weekend long. I like to take them in there and tweak the Old Bay seasoning and some Slap Your Mama or Tony Shashery's and do that. Chris in Orange Beach, I have my father's Forrest Gump riding snapper lawnmower, handlebars, and all that, still kicking butt and taking names. Okay, listen, I'm glad it's running, and that's a cool thing. But, you know, I thought I was a king when I graduated from pushing a lawnmower as a kid to riding on one. But when you go zero turn, man, you never go back. It's one of the things people say, tell me how I'm wrong, debate me or whatever. Zero turns win. I'm a team zero turn. But that is cool that you have a snapper riding lawnmower that old. I'd love to see it. Marty says $2 an ounce. Okay, street value of the jerky is $2 an ounce. I am such an old man. What do drugs cost? I don't know. What is $2 an ounce? What do they cost an ounce? So I'm just seeing if it's more expensive than some drugs out there. But yeah, that's the beef jerky recall started all that. The Hickory Hollow beef jerky. But it does not say that anybody got sick. It's because it wasn't inspected properly. So they're going to do a recall on that. So go check your... Who leaves beef jerky around that long? They would still have it. Not sure. Update on the traffic-wise, too. I know this affected some people who worked here. They got everything cleared up about that crash that happened on 65 near the Dolly Parton Bridge. Closed several hours, according to ALEA. Alabama Law Enforcement Agency, two people were injured in the crash. It happened about 2:18 in the morning at the 30-mile marker. So there you go. Listen, getting in an accident is scary. Getting in an accident on that bridge is real scary. They said two commercial vehicles, two tractor trailers hit there on the bridge. Both drivers injured in the crash. But I guess they've got that cleared up and good to go now. This was interesting, and it's popped up on the Drudge Report, and it's something that was, I heard this too, and when I heard this, I think, I don't know which interview, I've listened, you know, Donald Trump has done a great job, as I was saying yesterday, talking to Robert Kennedy on the show, Trump has done a great job of going to alternative media, right, podcast, and his ability to go in and do like he can do a regular, you know, mainstream news organization interview, and then he can go do like a comedian that has a podcast and do that interview and like fit into the different world. I think it's great. I think it's really smart on Trump's part. He's not scared to talk, obviously, so that works for him. But on one of these recently, I was listening to it. I just don't know which one. He said something to the effect of that he had lost by a whisker, right? In the last election cycle, that he has changed and is this a change like the IVF thing? Is this a change of heart? I don't know. But this has brought the other side of this. When you go with a narrative long enough and then you change on it, people lose faith in you from the other side. I don't know that they won't. So he's now has said, Donald Trump said in the 2020 election, he said he lost by a whisker. So now there are people out there that are saying that, you know, they were all behind him with Stop the Steal, and now he is abandoned. Trump has abandoned them. That he was, I don't know that those people are going to go vote for someone else. I don't know, though, on the flip side, if him changing from that the election was stolen to he lost by just a whisker, which he did. That part is true, though. By the way, he did lose by just a whisker. Right? And the fact that states, we've talked about this a whole bunch of times on the show. I'll tell you right now, if you don't, I mean, the states tweaked the voting pattern because of the cover of COVID. It absolutely benefited Democrat votes. But that's different than some of the more ready for Hollywood explanations of how the election was lost. But now to have Trump out saying that he lost, but by a whisker, is now getting him pushback. I'd like to hear from you, too. If you're somebody, did you hear that yet? And say, do you feel like, do you feel any ill will? I mean, one of the stories on Drudge Report, of course, they're taking the most offensive people out there and trying to bond them to Trump, as always. Let's see. And this is coming from, don't you know, this has got to be a real fair website, rightwingwatch.org. I hope I can get on that. I hope they put me on their watch list. And it's talking here about, what's that guy's name? Nick Fuentes, right? And they said, he was a supporter of Trump's. And they point out that he even dined with Trump at Mar-a-Lago in 2022, which, by the way, he was brought as a guest. Hate to ruin that narrative for everybody. But he said his adoration of Trump has faded, partially because Trump tapped Senator J.D. Vance, who has a non-white, non-Christian wife as his running mate. I mean, way to go, Nick Fuentes. There you go. But he also is saying now he's declaring war on the Trump campaign, and he's vowing to deploy activists. I don't know, 7, 8, maybe 9 activists that Nick Fuentes has for the purpose of depriving Trump of votes. So now Nick Fuentes, which if I'm the Trump campaign, I point out that here's this, really like fascist dude, right? Nick Fuentes doesn't like me. I think that's a benefit to Trump. Say, well, Nick Fuentes doesn't like me. Well, that's cool. They said Fuentes' disgust with Trump has only increased after the former president seemingly finally admitted that he lost the 2020 election. And this is coming from Right Wing Watch. So you understand this is a narrative from people that don't like the right wing. Said contradicted everything Trump had said for the last 4 years, essentially destroyed the justification for the entire Stop the Steal effort. And so, yeah, here's the quote, Fuente, and he said it, I guess, on Fuente's show. He said, oh, I lost by a whisker on whatever show I was listening to. Fuente's gripe during his Tuesday night live stream. So Fuente says, what's the point? What's the point of any of it? You lost in 2020? Seriously, what are we even doing anymore? You're a loser. You just lost. Then you lost to Joe Biden. So because Trump has said now that he lost by a whisker, I don't know if he's had a change of heart or it's a political move or whatever, but he's lost Nick Fuentes, which I think is probably a good thing if you lose. I don't know how many votes Nick Fuentes brings to sway here. Now, Tusker says, I'm calling the whisker story fake news. I heard it. Tuskers, I heard him say it. So, I mean, could they have AI'd him? I heard him say it. And he was in that same interview later. He said the election was a fraud, but he did say he lost by a whisker at that point. So now I guess Nick Fuentes is out. That's probably good news for Trump. All right, coming right back. We'll grab some calls and text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. And coming up next hour, Dale Leash from Lanyap joins me. Also, the dog show coming to town. I mentioned that at the beginning of the hour. Barbara Robinson with the dog show coming to town is going to join us about 1:30. I watch these things on TV. I'm interested, so talk more about that. And it was, thank you. It took me a second to Google that during the break. It was Lex Friedman's podcast. These things kind of blend together sometimes, where Lex Fridman was interviewing Trump. Like I said, Trump's done such a good job of going on alternative media. I think it's a huge win for him. I really do. Look who's not on there, right? Harris or Walz. Oh, which, by the way, Walz, you see this story where, and I've got to dig this up. Maybe we'll get it next hour. Like, so many of Walz's family are saying they don't support him. They like T-shirts like Walz family for Trump. Pretty interesting. But yeah, so here's a quote from it. Didn't have time to pull the audio, so I can't do an imitation of Lex Fridman. I really can't do an imitation of Trump, so I'll just read the words. So Fridman was asking Trump about his expectations of the debate next week against Harris, and Trump answered, quote, "I've done a lot of debating. I've done well with debates. I became," then he said, end quote. Then he started talking about the number of votes he received in 2020, saying, quote, "I became president. Then the second time I got millions more votes than I got the first time. I was told if I got 63 million, which is what I got the first time, you would win. You cannot win. And I got a million. You cannot not win. You can't not win." That's what it is. All right. So the quote is, "I got 63 million, which is what I got the first time. You would win. You can't not win," he was told. Then he goes on to say, "And I got millions more votes than that and lost by a whisker." So that's the quote that has all the discussion going on. Thought the interesting thing is you got Nick Fuentes like having some kind of come apart about that. So let's go to the phones here, and first up, Roland in Mobile. Hey, Roland.
Hello there, Sean. How you doing today?
And I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for taking my call, sir. Just briefly, a few things here. Mr. Trump has carried water for the Republican Party long enough. He has fought them off himself. A lot of yellow-spanded Republicans refuse to do their jobs. Everybody is against this man. I remember Mr. Trump when he ran first. Mm-hmm. I remember him, what he did. I remember our economy. I remember our gas prices. I remember things, what he had done. A lot of people act like they don't. And nobody is helping this man out. And everybody's blaming, talking about Trump need to do this and Trump need to do that. Well, he did it.
Right.
He did it. Last time when I went to bed, he was ahead. He was going to win the election. Got up the next morning. They had taken it from him. They stole it. Yes, they did. With the ballot harvesting and ballot stuffing with ballot boxes showing up after the polls closed and they counted. Nobody held them accountable for that. Democrats can lie all they want to lie. They do not love this country. They do not. They are against this country. They for open borders and Chucky Boy Schumer. Chucky Schumer, he need to be locked up. He threatened a Supreme Court judge.
Yep.
He threatened Kavanaugh. And then a gunman wind up on his street. I'm telling you, these people are sick. They are really, really sick. And if we lose, if Trump lose this election, we will be good for what's coming to us. We deserve every bit of it. We gave God the boot. Then we cry about shooting and guns in school. Oh, yes, we kick God out. We burn our flags. This is pathetic. We hate our soldiers. This is pathetic. This country needs to get what's coming to it. I'm sorry, Sean, I'm going to let you go. But I say a minute time, and this is me. Not the radio station. Somebody once said, the tree of freedom must be watered every now and again with blood.
Of tyrants.
And that's what needs to happen.
Of tyrants, yeah.
That's right, sir.
So my question on this, the things you delineate that the Democrats have done, Democrats absolutely have done.
the people that are excited to vote for Harris, are they excited to vote for that? It's interesting because the campaign, I've been saying this for weeks, they're running is like Donald Trump's still in office. They're complaining about the economy and all these things down the line here. And I want to go, but it's you, the Democrats, that have been in power for 3.5 years. And like you said, if we go back before that, let's talk about the gas prices. They don't want to talk about that. They want to act like what's happened for the last 3.5 years is somehow Donald Trump's fault. It's the inverse.
That's right. Now, this woman Harris, the vice president, she's intending on doing the same thing that dead man walking Biden did. He hid. He went and hid himself, and they still elected him, knowing that this man was as sick as he was when he first got into office. He was sick then, and they made excuses for him. The press jumped in behind him. They were being paid off. Made excuses for this man. He was stumbling and mumbling. But, Sean, I'm going to let you go. But now, this is what I want to know. Who's in charge now? Who's got the nuclear briefcase? Who's got it? Where is it? Who's in charge of this country?
I'm scared it's Blinken. That's my I think you're Anthony Blinken talk. That's who's running that. But that's just my theory.
All right, Sean. Have a good day, man. And then they talk about Trump talking about marijuana. Man, listen, I don't care nothing about nobody smoking dope on no job working on aircraft for me that I got to fly on. I don't care about that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Roland, I'm with you. I don't want them on anything when they're putting the aircraft together, 100%. Well, I appreciate your call. Call me back soon. Go on the news and coming right back. Dale Leach with Land Yap joins us.